Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Welcome back to Communication Studio. From meetings to the stage, communication is absolutely essential for everything we do. And if this is your first episode, please check out our previous episodes focusing on the importance of communication and how to present like a pro. Today, though, we're going to focus on storytelling. Tell a story, win the room. So storytelling, you'll hear about this all the time. It's what we used to do when we were cave people back a long time ago. We'd sit around the fire and we would trade stories in the dark when you can't do much or when the weather's bad. And that still exists today. We will sit in a living room. We'll sit in around a kitchen table and we will trade stories. We won't even realize we're doing it. We won't think, oh, I need to tell a story now. That's the way we will communicate. Oh, you never heard what Sandra did. And that's a story, even if it might be a gossipy story. So we do the same in business. If we're trying to win an argument, we'll put our story across. We'll say, oh, you know, all the times that our team's having to do this, wouldn't it be better if they didn't have to do that anymore? And here's the solution that I think will solve that problem. And that's a story. We put everything into a story. But when we're in front of a customer or when we've got a presentation to give internally or externally, we sometimes forget that, or we're not sure how to go about it. We get so stuck with the word story, we don't think about how we should be going about it. To give you an example, I had to sell or describe the benefits of a system. And part of that was around the person using their correct name and verifying that they'd use their correct name. And I would talk about the benefits of the tool and how it was able to capture different things. One example I would give is that my name is legally Michael, but I go by Mike. And if I forget that I go by Mike, it can cause me a lot of trouble. And then I tell the story, and this is an absolutely true story of how a long time ago, I almost missed a flight because I used the name Mike Knott instead of Michael Knott. And I got to the airport and I went to check in. And of course, my passport didn't match the ticket. Now, I'm there at the time. I was a lot younger. This was a long time ago. And I'm there going, but Mike is Michael. It's short for Michael. Like, and they're going, but it doesn't match. Now, I was incredibly lucky. I managed to get it changed and I did make my flight and I made my meeting. And that was very, very important at the time for me. But it could have gone so wrong. And so telling that story is slightly humorous. It's short. It's 2 to 3 minutes long to tell the story. It's relatable. People go by Dave and they're David and, you know, I won't list others, but, you know, Mike, Michael, there's lots of shortening of names out there that doesn't represent a legal name. Some people have really obscure names they go by and you think, oh God, forgot their names. Charles. We never call him Charles. So we want to engage people with stories that are short, quick, if possible, with a slightly comedic element, always brings it to life a bit more. But the number one thing we want to do is make stories relatable. So the story I told is easily relatable. You can either relate to it yourself or you know somebody who's got a shortened name they go by. That is so common. Or you've accidentally put down the wrong name. Or you've got married and you've used your maiden name by accident because you've just done it by default. There are so many times where that story can come to life. It is instantly relatable. It brings the solution that I was talking about to life. And instantly, I've told the solution through a story effortlessly, without seeming like any kind of sales tactic. Another one I used to tell was I had a system which supported online forms. And online forms are everywhere. You can buy them everywhere. You can get free versions with a logo on. There's nothing particularly obvious about a form solution that doesn't already exist. Now, we did have USPs and reasons to go with our solution, but rather than trying to win the customer over with those types of stories, I decided to go about making it relatable. So I told the story of how, even in today's age, I receive forms via the post, and I open those forms up and it will say, fill in section one if this applies, if not, go to section 2B, and so on. And those forms, you look at them and there's tons of fields, and there's rules of what you should fill out when, and only fill it in black ink. And I look at that and I think, I'm not doing that now. I'll wait till the weekend, or, you know, I'll wait till another day and I'll put that down. And now whoever sent me that form is not getting it filled in instantly. But with the power of our solution, we don't need to do that because it will automatically handle all of that for you, blah, blah, blah. And instantly everyone relates to that because everybody receives forms. Everybody opens them and goes, oh, there aren't many people in the world who go, yes, another complicated form. I love forms. I'm sure they exist, but they are not everywhere. So instantly people go, oh, yeah. And you can see people sometimes, whether I'm telling this in person or virtually, I can see people nodding along as I'm telling the story. They've been in that situation, maybe even very recently. So now I've brought the solution to life with a very quick, seemingly pointless story that took, again, 2 to 3 minutes to tell. And people are now listening to me. They trust me because they think, hey, Mike's in my situation. I totally get this. So what we're going to do today is we're going to cover aspects of storytelling, the reasons, the benefits, and how to tell a story, how to structure a story. And this could be across any element of your work. It could be in meetings that I kind of described. It could be internally. It could be if you're doing a presentation in front of a larger audience, or you're on stage in front of a large audience. And how do you put a presentation together? And before we move on, I just want to say, a big bugbear for me is, actually there's two, I'm going to share two bugbears. One, someone goes on stage and on the screen in the background, it says Mike Knott, communication studio owner. And then I get up, I go up to the microphone and I go, hi, my name's Mike and I'm the owner of communication studio. Really boring. They know. They can see it on the screen. They probably knew that already. It's probably in the program or it's in their agenda. Like they didn't need me to say that. And it's boring. They're like, yeah, come on, get on with it. If I get up and I go, 99% of people don't do this. Now they're listening. So introducing on stage, it drives me nuts when people introduce themselves when they've already been introduced, or they're introduced in the background on the visuals, etc. There's just no need for that at all. The second, even more of a bugbear for me, and if you are listening and you work closely with me, you will know I really have a problem with this. It's when somebody's presenting and they're not sharing their screen, or they're not in control of the laptop. And so they get to the end of their slide and they go, next slide, please. Drives me nuts, because the whole point of a presentation should be that it's a journey. It's a story. You're starting at the beginning, there's a middle and there's an end, and there's an end goal to it. There's a message you're trying to get across. And if every single time you're changing the visual, you're going, I'm changing the visual, with next slide, please, you lose the audience every single time. They step out of your story. You've lost their engagement. So it drives me nuts, not just because it's sloppy and it shows lack of rehearsal or preparation, but it just takes you out of the story. I once attended a product meeting and the person didn't have much time to present their story. So they presented and they were talking really quickly, and they had loads of slides. Now, I wouldn't have even noticed how many slides they had if they didn't say, next slide, please. Next slide, please. Every couple of seconds. Ah, it drove me nuts, because you know, the only thing I can remember from that is the next slide, please. I don't remember what that person discussed or showed me or went through. So it really, it just detracts so much from your story, from your presentation. So if you're in that situation, you're thinking, oh God, I do that. There's a couple of ways you can fix it. One, rehearse. There shouldn't be too many excuses. Get together with your person. You don't have, you know, the person who's got controlling the laptop or whatever it might be. and just cover how you're going to end. I once had a call mechanism. We didn't have time to rehearse. So I said, oh, I'm just going to send you a message on Slack or Teams or whatever you use. And I'll just send you an X every time I want you to move on to the next slide. And so it was like I was clicking onto the next slide, except all I was doing was sending an X and then they'd move on to the next slide. It was so seamless and so simple. And you can easily do that. I did that a number of times. And then tools like Zoom now have the functionality to do slide control. So if you are using a tool like that, have a look, see if that functionality is available. And what you can do is you can enable the ability for a number of people on the call to be able to move your slides forward. They can't control your machine. They can just move to the next slide. Really great functionality. It means multiple people can talk. One person has to share and it's seamless. So that's great as well. But either way, either rehearse or work with your team to understand what the cue is to move on to the next one. And I will love you forever if you do that.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So let's get into it in a bit more detail. Why does storytelling work? So from a scientific basis, stories engage more parts of the brain than facts alone, making them memorable. What we want is our audience to make an emotional connection, because you make your decisions in the limbic part of your brain, the emotional part of your brain. So, you know, when you have a gut feeling, or you want to go ahead with a particular tool, or you want to make a particular decision about a wallpaper at home, and then you have to start justifying it. And that happens in that order for two reasons. One, you will have made the emotional decision in your brain. So you've made that emotional decision. But we will always want to justify it to ourselves. We want to back it up. So maybe it's cheaper. Maybe it will last longer. Maybe it's a good investment now for you to grow into. But whatever the reason, you will justify it second. You will make that emotional decision first. And if you're trying to persuade somebody, which we often are, and again, this could be at home or at work, but we're trying to persuade maybe our manager to give us more budget for something. So we've made our decision. We think this solution is best. This decision is best, but it's going to cost more. So now the justification is harder. So you need to now make that decision rational second. So we're always making that emotional decision first. And stories hit our emotional center. They bring us in, they make it relatable. And as soon as it's relatable, it's an emotional connection. So we want to make sure we're using storytelling as much as possible, particularly when we are persuading somebody of something. It's a great tip for your personal life as well, by the way. Don't start with, I've got a cost-effective solution, because that's not fun. It needs to be a story that's an emotional connection. So how do we put together our story? How do we craft our story? Firstly, we need to set up our story. There's three parts to this, just three parts. One is the setup. So introduce a relatable character or a situation. Now, you'll naturally do this most of the time anyway. So for example, with my airport story and my name, I introduced myself. So now they know me, they're looking at me, oh, this happened to Mike. And then the situation is a very common situation of catching a flight. Most people will have caught some form of public transport. Most people will have caught a flight. So they can now put themselves in that situation and they know it's me. So it's easy to understand that. Now, if you're not talking about yourself, describe the person. Not in great detail. Just say, oh, once I was working with this woman and she was, she really thought she was high and mighty. And now people are imagining that sort of person. They might know somebody similar. They're masking that person over the top, but they immediately understand the kind of person you're describing. Avoid names. Don't be nasty, of course. Don't ever be mean, but describe something. And like I say, if you can inject some humor in there in a gentle and appropriate way, that also helps as well. Next, number two, the conflict. What's the issue? What's the challenge? What's the obstacle? What's the point of the story? when I said I nearly missed my flight, that invokes an emotional connection to the story because you can imagine almost missing your own flight. Maybe you did. Maybe you missed one once. Maybe you nearly missed one once. But now there's an emotional connection, an emotional hook. And then, of course, everybody's interested, no matter whether you want to admit it or not, everybody's interested in the outcome, the resolution. So how do we conclude with a positive outcome that ties back to our key message? So in my situation, I wanted to talk about the importance of name checking and getting accurate name checking up front. Because if I wasn't able, if that had been in place for my flight, I would never have been able to book my ticket under the wrong name and therefore saved myself that situation. So conclude it with the positive outcome. So I managed to make my flight, but wow, it was close. And with our solution, you won't ever need to worry about that situation because it handles it for you. And that is the three-step process to crafting your story. One, the setup. Set it up with a relatable character and or a situation. Two, set out your conflict, your obstacle, your challenge. That creates the emotional hook. And finally, the resolution. Conclude it with ideally a positive outcome that ties to your message. If it's a negative outcome, like, oh, I did actually miss the flight, that's fine. But make sure there's a positive outcome in that if I'd have bought the Communication Studio solution, I wouldn't have had that situation. So there's your positive outcome. Now, here's a pro tip as well. Keep your story concise. No more than 2 to 3 minutes is your ideal length of a story. 4 to 5 minutes, fine. Just practice it yourself, but make sure it's interesting. People will lose interest if the story goes on and on. It has to be really compelling to keep people's attention beyond that. If you keep it nice and short, you're teasing people into the next part of your conversation. Oh, this is really engaging. I'm enjoying listening to this. It's not going on and on. So keep it to 2 to 3 minutes for your story, and you cannot go wrong.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
Now then, how do we integrate stories into our presentations? Sales pitches, meetings, stage talks, etc. So firstly, I think the number one tip I have is remember everybody is human. The more relatable and close to life you can make it, the better. We still need to include statistics to back things up. That rational part of the brain still needs to be satisfied, but the emotional side needs to be met by making it relatable to everybody. And we miss this sometimes. Sometimes we talk in grand gestures. I've seen things like, did you know there is $10 trillion of potential blah, blah, blah. That means nothing to me, absolutely nothing. I don't even know what a trillion would look like. I'm not fortunate enough to even know what a billion looks like. Talking about trillions to me, not relatable at all. Does not reach me. Telling me, however, that I could halve the time it takes me to complete a process, now I'm interested. Now it relates to me. And there's an emotional connection that I would desire that 50% reduction or 50% improvement in efficiency. So frame it in a way that solves my pain point as the customer. So if you're pitching a product, it has to solve that person's pain point. From a meeting perspective, if you're in a meeting and maybe it's half an hour long, so you don't have time for lots and lots of stories, you need to get into it. Use micro stories to illustrate key points. Now, the way we could do that is twofold. One, we could use my method. My stories I already told you. So look, we really need to get this solution for verifying names, for validating names, because once I had a website and it let me put Mike in instead of Michael and I nearly missed a flight. Now I can tell that in about 10 to 20 seconds. It's meaningful, it adds relevance and it brings it to life. So we could do it that way. And we can also use it as examples as well. So here's an example of how another team has done this, or here's an example of how this has been implemented. And I think that would really work for our business. So in a meeting, in an internal meeting, maybe you're asking for budget or the approval to do a project, use a story as an example to make your point. And finally, the big one. So we've got sales pitches, we've got meetings, the big one. Stage talks, you're on stage. And maybe you have a fear of public speaking, maybe you haven't done it much, or maybe you have done it much, but you're looking to continually improve. So start with a powerful anecdote to really grab the attention. Don't go up and say, hey, I'm Mike, I've been talking for 10 years, and it feels like I've been talking for 10 years on this stage now because you're bored, because I'm giving my introduction. What a waste of time. Instead, what we should be doing is using an anecdote to grab attention. There's loads of examples of this on YouTube, by the way, so don't just take my word for it. What you can do is go up and share a statistic, share a quick story. Make it powerful, add your pauses in as well. Like, look at the previous episodes around presenting like a pro. Keep it concise, don't use filler words. Keep it interesting. Go up and say, last year, 60% of people had this problem. Or even better for me, out of every 10 of you, 6 of you will have this problem. And now they're like, well, that's more quite likely to be me. So I'm really going to listen to what they're going to say next. Obviously, make it honest. If you're not, if it doesn't seem like it's real, they're not going to pay attention. So don't go too crazy or creative. But start with an anecdote. Start with a statistic. Start with a little story. When I was younger, I used to. Now they're like, they can't help it. I'm curious about what he used to do when he was younger. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're going to find it boring. They're interested at that stage. Now, the other thing I want to call out here with stage talks is what companies like Apple do with their keynotes. Other companies, of course, as well. Just Apple's a good example. If you ever watch a keynote back, you will see that they will often put a picture of their latest iPhone up on the screen. That's the only visual element that's being shown. Then they might move on and it will say 1 billion on the slide. That's it. So you're now looking at the stage, you're seeing the presenter, and in the background, a visual which shows 1 billion. And you cannot help it. You are curious at this point. All you want to know is what that 1 billion represents. Even if you don't really care, you're curious and you want to know. And then they'll say, we have sold 1 billion, insert whatever they've sold, but you're on the hook for it. It's a story. You want to know what that story is. Now, what they could do instead is say, we've had great success with this product over the last year. In fact, we've had so much success, we've sold over 1 billion devices, or, you know, whatever it is. Not as interesting, nowhere near as interesting or dramatic, or there's no curiosity because you're being told it as it went. So inserting that exciting anecdote, that exciting story really brings it to life. Even though it's the exact same story, whether you tell it the fun, dramatic way or the boring way. So think about how you're delivering, and think about this when it comes to creating content as well. So your story is aided by your visual story. So don't include all of the information on the slide. What's the point of you talking if you've already done that? So add something like 1 billion. Or I tell you what, if I was telling my flight story, I might have a picture of a plane, nice and simple, just an aeroplane, with the text, Mike Knott. And I stand up and they think, oh, this is an introductory slide. And then I say, nearly missed a flight because of that name once. And then I pause. And then I say, my legal name is Michael Knott. And I tell the story. But now they're hooked. They're interested. They're emotionally connected. The visual is aiding the story. There's a story. They're engaged. And my talk is now the most interesting thing they're looking at right now. They're not interested in their phone. They're not interested in any of distractions. They're interested in what I have to say because of the way I've laid it out. So when it comes to talking on stage, start with a powerful anecdote, statistic, story to grab their attention. Make it really engaging. Make your visuals tease the content. Your visuals should never be the content. You are the content. And that is how you can integrate stories into your presentations.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
So to wrap up the episode today, I want to give you three quick fixes to make sure your stories are the best they can be. Number one, make it personal. Use real life examples for authenticity. Now, what I will say is nobody's going to fact check your story. No one's going to check that I nearly did miss a flight because of my name. Now that is a true story, but you don't need to give all of your personal details. Just make it relatable and use a real life example. Someone can easily imagine. In fact, my wife and I prefer TV that we can relate to real life. So we're not massive sci-fi fans unless it's something that could happen. And I'll give you a great example. Lost. We loved Lost back in the day when it was out 20 years ago, whatever it was. We loved it. Even though it's far-fetched, it could happen. And actually, sadly, there was a flight 10 years ago which had very similar situation. But the story itself hooked us in because it could happen. And that's what you want for your stories. When you're telling a story, make sure it's real life, it's authentic, it seems like it's real. Number two, focus on the audience. Ask, how does this story help my listeners? It needs to be engaging for the audience you're telling. And if it's not, don't force it. Number three, practice your timing. I already said a pro tip is to make your story 2 to 3 minutes long, ideally. That's the sort of length you're looking for. Obviously, there are different situations where longer might be better or shorter might be better, but typically 2 to 3 minutes is your sweet spot. Record yourself to ensure your story flows and fits whatever time you're trying to fit it into. Now, you can do this in a number of ways. You could record it on your phone via, you know, a voice note. You could record it using a camera if you want to see how you look and feel. You could record it on your machine using Zoom, Teams, or any other tool. You can also just set a stopwatch and practice as well. It doesn't have to be recorded. Recorded is better. You can listen to it back. You can see where you ummed and ahed, where you rushed a bit, where something was a bit too slow or a bit boring. You can get feedback from people as well. But do some practicing with your timing, with the way you tell the story, to make it as engaging as possible. And I have an exercise for you as well, if you are interested. It's completely optional. Do you ever struggle to tell stories? And in which case, send me a topic and I'll help craft a story for the next episode. And recently I set this challenge to somebody I work with, and they created a 2-minute story about paperclips. And it was really, really interesting, I promise you. So that is a great example of how you can tell a story about absolutely anything. Send that in to me. I will craft a story on it and I'll share it in a future episode, as well as getting back to you individually as well. And with that, we have looked at the three elements of storytelling: crafting your story with the setup, the conflict, and the resolution, integrating it into your presentations, whether it's a sales pitch, a meeting, or a stage talk, and the three quick fixes of making it personal, focusing on the audience, and practicing your timing. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share with your friends, tell people, and listen again. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm so grateful. And until next time, this has been Communication Studio.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio. your guide to presentation success.